may have for you this year? Has that occurred to you over the last week or two? Have you asked him, God, what do you have for my life this year? What do you want me to do? Have you asked that? I hope we will begin to do that more and more. I heard of a businessman, this was in the United States, who had a number of friends every year. They were all businessmen, friends from different parts of the country, different parts of life. And every year they would get together for a retreat. Usually it was in Colorado in the middle of the mountains. And they would spend 4 or 5 days together encouraging each other, challenging each other, praying with each other. That's a great thing, isn't it? Especially for men to do that. The ladies, they get together instantly, and two ladies that don't know each other, all of a sudden, boom, and the guys just stand there and go, And the ladies do it naturally. We guys don't. And we need to encourage and challenge each other. N'est-ce pas, David? Yeah? And David has a heart for that too. I know many of you do, and that's fantastic. Well, it was interesting. At one point, when these men were together, one of them pulled out $10,000 out of his pocket, close to 10,000 euros, a little less. He dumped it on the table in front of them, and they're all looking like, what's this for? Are we going to spend it all together? And he said, I've got a problem. I received this windfall. Windfall is something suddenly you get. You did not expect it from his business. And he said, I have a problem. I don't know what I am going to do with this sudden windfall. $10,000. I need you to talk with me and pray with me right now and help me decide how I will use this for God's glory, not for myself. Huh. Now that is amazing, isn't it? Isn't that the way we should all be? The importance of community and helping each other walk in the will of God and use our resources well for him to be good stewards of what he entrusts to us. Let's keep that in mind and let's help each other in these things. And I want you to know, Paul, when you receive a windfall of 10,000 euros this year, I am available to help you decide how to use that. All right. Purely objectively speaking, right? That's what it should be. So the question is, friends, every day this year is going to be special for each one of us because, listen to this, you have been given a windfall. By the grace of God, and James says, if God be willing, but you have been given a year ahead of you. You have been given 2019 by the grace of God, if we all live that long, but by his grace, you have. I have. Each one of us is wealthy. We have been given, by God's grace, 365 days sitting there right in front of us. How many hours is that, you mathematicians? Quickly.
8,760.
Oh, there's always one like that. Always. All right, Ian, how many minutes is that? Oh, he's reading my script. Oh, no wonder he's so good. Put that away. 8,760 hours I have been given, we assume, by the grace of God. 525,600 minutes. Huh? How many seconds? Don't say anything, Ian. Over 31 million seconds. How will we use it? We need to help each other in using it, so we use it well. What if you had a bank account? David suddenly had a bank account where he was promised, God said to him, every year I will give you $525,000 and some change. All you have to do is use it. What you don't use at the end of the year, you lose. Do you think he would spend it? He's smiling. Oh, it would only take 3 days, and I would have it all spent. First of all, a Porsche, then a Maserati, and then a Ferrari. Yes, that would take care of all of it and more. We have this special, special gift from God sitting before us, every one of us. How are we going to use it? Or are we going to let it go to waste? No pun intended. What will it be? We have 525,600 precious minutes this year. And our calling is to take advantage of them and use them for the kingdom of our master. Are we going to redeem the time? Ephesians 5:16, using it well, stewarding it well for him. Turn with me in your Bibles, or you can look with me also to our scripture for today, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 33. God's words given to his people at a very difficult time in their history. When they were in captivity. But in the middle of it all, God gave a tremendous promise. He gave several. We'll focus on one today. One that he gave through the prophet Jeremiah. Let me read it. Follow with me, all right? While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name, just in case you didn't get the hint. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord is his name. I love these words now. Call to me. I will answer you. I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a promise. Something our God loves to do for us, and often it is in very difficult circumstances where he tells us this. Are you ready to claim this for yourself this year? This is for Agnes. It's for me. It's for Marion. It's for Diane. It's for Francois. It's for every single one of us this year. Every moment. Every moment. So, Father, I ask right now that you will take these words of yours, that you, by your Spirit, will touch our hearts, and that you will apply them to our hearts, challenge us, teach us, grow us, encourage us in these things for these moments that we're together. take your word in a powerful way and work it out in a practical way in each of our lives. So you get great glory and your kingdom will grow. Eternal fruit will come that lasts forever. Thank you that we can be a part of that. In your great name. Amen. Four quick things here that we're given in these verses that I see and I believe God wants us to see this morning. First, look at who is speaking to you and to me. Look at this. Verse 2, this is what? The Lord. That is a strong word used back in the Old Testament for our God. The Lord, the Great One, the Almighty One. The Lord is speaking. Friends, do you realize this morning, right now, the Lord is speaking to you and to me? Not just Elish, even though she's great. She's a wonderful person. But beyond her, it's the Lord who's speaking. Not just one of our friends, fellow believers. It's the Lord. This isn't President Macron. I'd rather have the Lord speak to me. Or President Trump. Anybody, all the great people we've respected, Billy Graham's, all in all of history speaking to us, I would rather have the Lord. And all his great servants would say that too. You can listen to me, but you'd better check to be sure it's the Lord speaking through me. The Lord. Now, I wanted to show a video clip for a second. Can we make this work or not, Ian? If we can't, that's fine. If not, we'll just have Jude stand up and explain to us all the amazing things about our great God. I dumped something on them last minute, and I thought we had provision for it, and I should have checked ahead of time. If not, that's fine. We'll make it work another way. Could we pull the lights a little bit or not?
Lights.
Thank you.
Saturn,
of the 9 planets in our solar system is over 1 billion miles away. It is 1,000 times the size of our Earth. Of the 200 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, 6 billion of these stars have planetary systems like ours. Every star we can see in the night sky lies within the realm of our own galaxy. Voyager 1 is now the most distant human-made object in space. It was launched in 1977, traveling at a speed of 40,000 miles per hour. It is just now arriving at the edge of our solar system. The sun there is only 1/5,000th as bright as here on Earth, so it is extremely cold, and there is very little solar energy to provide electrical power. The fact that the spacecraft is still returning data is a remarkable surprise to our scientific community. Our solar system, containing the Sun and the 9 orbiting planets, orbits the center of the Milky Way galaxy on just one of its outer spiraling arms. Our Milky Way galaxy, the home to our solar system, is just one of over 125 billion galaxies that make up the visible universe. Andromeda is the next closest galaxy. It is 10 million, million, million miles away from the Earth. Traveling at the speed of light, it would take 2 million years to reach Andromeda. Andromeda and the Milky Way form a small cluster of galaxies called the Local Group. Beyond the Local Group are even greater clusters of galaxies. Man has no knowledge whatever of what lies beyond this distance. From Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. From Colossians chapter 1, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Jesus and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things. The Bible declares that the endless eternal universe is just one of God's creations. As incomprehensible as that is for our minds to conceive, what may be even more unimaginable is that in the vastness of all that he has made, he loves you. And through Jesus Christ, his Son, the God of the universe, extends his hand and his love to you.
I can't get into my mind the fact that there are billions of stars just in our galaxy. And then to imagine that there are billions of those galaxies in existence. This is a big God. We only begin to get a little idea of his mind and his heart when we look at this. And did you notice at the end, from that one sphere, you suddenly saw an eye? He is huge in who he is and what he has made. But remember the smaller as well. I know of one physician, a doctor, who has come to know Jesus personally because as he was studying the human eye, he began to realize this could not have happened by chance. The human eye is amazingly made, and so many parts of our bodies, the small as well as the large. It's almost even greater to think of what is minute and the way that it is put together is even more wondrous than the vast expanse out there. And this is God. And He is speaking to you and to me. He is. Why are we listening to anything else? Why are we tempted to? He has an interest in us. Notice something. As you're marinating in that, notice what else he said through the prophet. He said, call on me. Call to me. He wants us to reach out toward him, to call upon him, literally. He's that interested in us. And this word call here is not a simple little expression. The meaning is to call out or to cry out. This is something serious. It has great emotion to it. It is saying also, call. It is a command to us. He feels so strongly about it that he speaks to us and says, do this. And the frequency of it, it's saying, in essence, keep on calling out to me. Make this a habit. Make this a pattern in your life because it is good for you. Do you think God is a mean and controlling egomaniac? Oh, he just wants us to call out to him. He wants to be the center of attention. He wants us to get close to him because that is what will bring the biggest blessing into our lives. So that then we can turn around and even glorify him more. And that then brings more blessing into our lives. And that then brings even more glory to him. And on and on and on it goes. I want to be a part of that. This God. Well, the fact that God would want me to call out once to him would be amazing, but the fact that he keeps saying, call, 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 call out to me constantly. Have that be the attitude of your heart, even. The way that you're poised toward me. Make it that way. God is saying, I don't want to be an appliance on the kitchen counter. Where when you think you need me, you go over and you take me and you use me. And you make a smoothie or something out of life because of me. And then when you think you're done with me, you put me back on the shelf. That's the way many of us treat God. Oh, I'll use him when I need him. And we have other things that we use when we think we need them. And God just fits there equally with everything else. He wants to be le centre. It's different being an apparatus, something that you conveniently add to your life, that's different from being the very center of who you are and all you do. That's what he wants. And we benefit amazingly through it if we do. You see that? He's calling out to us as well. Very passionately indeed. There's one of the founders of our republic, the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson, basically wrote these words in what's called the Declaration of Independence. And all of you have that memorized, I know. We hold these truths to be self-evident. He's saying this: these should be obvious to us, that we and all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Things that you should not surrender are things that are just assumed should be guaranteed. You don't surrender that. And among these are what? Three things that are named. Life. And liberté is one you know very well, a part of the French culture and the French statement of raison d'être and that kind of thing. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I find it interesting that it seems like in the United States, and I think it's happening in France and in a lot of the world, where people have a taste of freedom, they're coming to think that they deserve happiness. They're coming to think that they're entitled to happiness. And that is why the founders of our nation said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We are not guaranteed happiness. We are guaranteed in our nation, and I know the French have the same attitude, it's the pursuit of happiness that we're given freedom for. That's what one of the Psalms is getting at and reminding us about the Lord. Psalm 34, you notice, turn from evil, do good. Where does the initiative go? You turn. You do good. When we decide and we make a step toward it, God moves in and helps us. But it says, you initiate. And then it says, seek peace and pursue it. It's not automatically guaranteed. Seek it. Pursue it. Now let's take it a little farther. It's basically telling us freedom in Christ is not a guarantee of intimacy with Christ. Freedom in Christ only guarantees us the freedom to pursue Him. We have a choice. Are we going to pursue Him? Are we going to be proactive? Or will we just sit back and be lazy? We have freedom in Him, but we don't have a close relationship with Him. And that's where many are. And I want to urge us this morning, let's not be lazy this year. Let's marinate in His presence. Pursue Him with all that we have, all that we are, because He's calling out to us. If we do, this will be a very different year indeed, and we will spend it well. I hear this a lot as a pastor. I've said it myself. Oh, this has to be a year of evangelization, or this has to be a year where we really disciple people, or we've got to really go after this or that or that. And I say, no. This is a year where we're called to pursue Jesus. Out of that will come everything else we need. His Spirit will speak to our hearts and show us what we need to be and do here at Tikos and in other fellowships everywhere else, all over the world. As they are pursuing Jesus, they will know what they are to do after that. Do you have the expression putting the cart before the horse? Right? Now, many of us in the body of Christ have been putting the cart before the horse. He's calling out to us as he's asking us to call out to him. Say it with me. Pursue him. Now look at the person next to you with very serious eyes and say, pursue him. Now promise that every day you're going to call that person and say, pursue him. I could use that, couldn't you? Don't all of you call me this week, but yes, go ahead. Now something else, because of who this God is. Notice what he says next. Call me, call upon me, and I might answer you now and then, if I have time, maybe if you're good enough, I might find some time to answer you. What does he say? I will answer you. Say the word will. Say it. Will. Is that strong? I will. We can depend on it. That's encouraging news. What a promise. Almighty God says that if Sasha calls out earnestly on him, he will respond to him. He will. Now, will he always respond the way we might like? God, I want you to give me $5 million this year. Or 5 million euros, whatever, 500,000 euros, whatever. I'll be satisfied with 500,000. Maybe he knows that might not be the very best for me. He will answer. He's promised he will answer. But it might not be exactly what I think he should answer me with. But he is our great and faithful Father, who knows what we need and what we don't need. Can we trust him? He will answer. Can we trust it? What a promise. We have an expectant mother sitting here among us, at least one. And it's an interesting way to look at it. He says, I will. Are you expecting him to answer? Are you? Are you full of expectancy? Because of this great God who says, if you call, he will answer. Are you expecting many deliveries this year and in the years to come? Because of who our great God is. There's one more thing. Given the nature of God, when he says, I will answer, we see it explained even some here. God's people at that time, when Jeremiah was speaking these words, they needed some real encouragement. They were in bondage, literal bondage from another nation. And God said, I'll show you some things. But he didn't just say that. I will show you. I'm the teacher waiting for the students to answer, and I'm not succeeding. I will show you great and mighty things, unsearchable things, unbelievable things, things that often have not been revealed. You mean, Julien says, moi? He'll do that for me? Bien sûr. Absolutely. Great and mighty things. There's a... Can you flip that next one, Ian? I love this scripture, quoting out of Isaiah. Look at the words. No eye has seen, this is what Isaiah had said, nor ear has heard, nor mind conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we traditionally see that as we look at heaven. Heaven is coming. You can't imagine what it is. We can't describe it. We've never heard it the way it really is. And that's true. But friends, let's not limit it. Life in him is more than just then, someday. Life in him is intended to be now as well as then. Now preparing for then. So put this in the context of now as well as then. And read it again. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived, even Ian's great mind that can answer all these questions, mathematical questions, has conceived what God has prepared for them. Now, as well as then. Can you begin to dream a little bit about what God might perhaps do in your life and want to do in your life in 2019? Not then, now. Most of us have no clue. This is the God who works, Ephesians 3:20, far above all we could ask or even imagine, according to his power that works in us. Now, as well as that. He is revealing mysteries more and more and more to us the closer we get to the day when he will return and reveal himself and make all things right. Are you ready to hear? He wants to reveal some special things to Vincent. He wants to reveal some special things to Arsène, even though he already knows just about everything. To Jude. Nathalie. Etc., etc. Are you ready to listen? To hear? We get so busy, God can't get through to us. Oh, I talk to God, but I don't hear anything. Maybe you're talking too much, so God has no room to say anything to you. And wah. Sometimes if we just sit and marine, may I say that word, in his presence, be still and listen, we would hear a lot. Mysteries even. Things that up to now have not been understood. He loves to reveal these things, these precious things. They're like presents. Do you realize, actually, a friend, Kathy, a friend of ours that we knew a few years ago in our history, his name was Wayne Easter. He named their daughter Bunny, first name, Bunny Easter. But he was a good guy. He had a dream. He had a dream one night, and he came to church that following Sunday and said, "I had this dream." I said, "What was it?" He said, "I was walking down this hallway in heaven. I made it to heaven. I was walking down this long hallway, and the Lord was with me, and I said, 'What are all these doors?' The Lord said, 'Open one.' So I went to the closest one. I opened it. There were all these presents, beautiful things in there. We walked a little further. He said, 'Go ahead, open that.' I opened that one, and presents came all falling out of the door. It was so full. The room was so full. It just knocked me over. 'What is this?' And he said, 'I went down to another door. I opened it. More. And all the way down the hallway, all those doors opening up. Whew, what is this?' And the Lord said, 'Those are all the things you could have had if you just asked.'" Call on me. Listen to what I have to say. You will be surprised. Even mysteries, special things. He loves us. He just doesn't love the pastor. That's a hard thing for him to begin with. But everyone. And he's just dying to have us open some more presents. Not to consume them on ourselves, even though he wants to bless us and have us enjoy them. He's a father. But he wants us also to have many things that we can then use for his kingdom. But we have to ask and then open them. Many of us have asked, and there's presents sitting right there in front of us, and we're just thinking about it, and we're not taking the last step and opening them. Isn't God amazing? Now, last thing. I know this is not as much French as it is American, but I want to use this because it's a great example. Any of you recognize who this is? A man holding a golf club. Yes, it is. This is a man called Arnold Palmer, who was a great golf champion and really did a lot for the game of golf all over the world. He died 2 years ago at age 87. I don't think there'll ever be anyone besides Jack Nicklaus who would do so much for that sport. Now, I do love soccer, though, but I couldn't find an example like this. So when I find one, or when you have one, give it to me. Arnold Palmer, amazing guy. Had a terrible swing, but the ball always went the way it was supposed to go. So he was consistent. That's the important thing. Be consistent. That's the key. And that's a good piece of advice for the Christian life. We may look like we're not doing too well, and we may stumble when we're trying to follow Jesus, but that's okay. If you're consistent in your stumbling, you'll get where you need to go, and you'll do really well. It was interesting. Arnold Palmer was at a series of tournaments that were mainly in Saudi Arabia a number of years before. And he did very well. And the king, a Saudi king, was there for part of the time. And he was so impressed by his performance that he said, "I want to give you a gift." And Arnold Palmer, being polite and humble, he said, "Oh, no, no, no." But he knew if he insisted on that, he would offend the king. You don't want to offend a king, especially a Saudi king. So he said, oh, well, trying to be polite, he said, well, a golf club would be nice. Thinking, oh, just, you know, some kind of a nice golf club that I can add to my collection would be fine. So the king seemed pleased with that. The next morning, at Arnold Palmer's door in his hotel there, a package was slipped under, a little packet slipped under his door. He opened it. Inside was the title to a golf club. Lord, may someone make that mistake for me. You see, when you're in the presence of a king, you don't ask for small gifts. You might even offend him. Even Almighty God himself, he loves us to ask largely, because it then speaks about who we really think he is. So let's do it. In 2019, let's ask largely. He loves it. He loves it. For his glory. Lord, I pray that you would seal these things on our hearts. And I would encourage you right now in our prayer, if you have your iPhone or your iWatch or whatever on you, whatever represents your schedule, your life to you right now, I'd encourage you to hold that or hold it up before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving you 2019. I want to call out to you more this year. I want to hear from you. I want to receive from you so that I can then give out to others for you. So make this year a very different year for me, for your glory. And I ask that on behalf of my brothers and sisters and for myself, Lord, too. We want this year to be like no other year, because maybe we won't get another one. So we want to really do it well for you. In your great, strong, faithful name, we pray. Amen.
Got a sign from Francois. If you need some prayer, there will be people at the back with a tablet, and they will pray for you if you have special needs. As we enter 2019, can we just stand and we will sing a carol?